2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL News Time, 4:15. The three things you need to know this hour first.
Millions of bees were killed earlier today after a semi crashed carrying beehives on I-80 in Summit County, sending the bees into a swarm. I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Kobe.
Second, the Utah primary election looks like it will have a decent turnout tomorrow. Weber County Clerk calls it normal for a primary election. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot with Ricky Meese.
We've got several problems on southbound I-15. The initial crash is at the point of the mountain, still blocking lanes of travel. And now we have a stalled vehicle before you get to that at about 162nd South in Bluffdale. And that's blocking two right lanes of travel. Stop and go delays into Sandy. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Ample sunshine today with a slight chance for showers late tomorrow. I'm Matt Johnson.
Sunny 95 downtown. Time for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. First responders in Mendon, Missouri, say there are multiple fatalities and at least 50 people injured after Amtrak's Southwest chief jumped the tracks today. ABC's Alex Stone says the train collided with a dump truck.
Missouri State Patrol is saying there are people who were killed in the crash and derailment, but a number isn't clear. Witnesses have reported seeing victims bloody and on backboards. One man told us about feeling the train coming off the tracks and bracing as the ground came closer and then climbing out of a window.
Rob Nightingale was on board the train.
Kind of in shock, and I just sat there. And then people started getting out. So someone else opened up the window, and I saw the light.
But he says, surprisingly, there were no signs of mass panic. Leaders at the G7 summit condemn Russia's strike on a shopping mall in Ukraine, calling it a war crime. ABC's James Longman is there.
You may be able to hear the sound of welders. They're trying to burn away the metal that remains so they can get into the rubble, hopefully to find survivors below. But, you know, with every minute that passes, that looks less and less likely.
At least 15 people were killed. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tells Kentucky voters the Supreme Court's decision to strike down Roe v. Wade is a sign the issue must be settled at state and local levels.
Precedent is important. It is important. But sometimes precedent is wrong.
Dr. Julie Amen with the group Just the Pill says they're looking for ways to increase access to safe and legal abortion.
We're working on what states we're moving to next. Illinois is one that's on our radar because they are going to be surrounded by states that fall or have banned or more restrictions.
Amen on ABC Start here. The Supreme Court rules a Washington State high school football coach who knelt in prayer on the field after games is protected by the Constitution. You're listening to ABC News.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. The Supreme Court has sided with the high school football coach in a case about prayer at school. The football coach prayed at the 50-yard line, and the court ruled 6-3 that the school district violated the coach's free exercise rights, free speech rights, when it barred him from praying on the field after games. Kelsey Dallas is a religion reporter and associate editor at the Deseret News.
It was specific to authority figures because the concern in this type of case is coercion. So whether students who are more impressionable might feel forced to take part, forced to quiet their own religious interests in order to impress the teacher. Students throughout this last several decades that the Supreme Court has been working away at school prayer have maintained this right to individual acts of expression or student groups as long as it's at their own volition. So a student really can bow their head and say a prayer to themselves before a difficult chemistry exam or something like that. The Supreme Court's not going to interfere with that.
So how will this impact future freedom of speech cases?
I think the question is, where would the conservative majority draw the line? That they're very much supportive of private acts of religious expression, even if they are somehow taking place in a public space. But I think what was missing from the discussion is actually something that you mentioned earlier, which is that there already are prayers that happen in school spaces, that happen before team dinners, that happen in locker rooms, and maybe they're technically not supposed to be. But I don't think that a lot of the slippery slope arguments took account of just how confused a lot of school districts are and a lot of teachers are. And so it's like, even though we've had precedents in place since the 1960s, in most school districts, they're sort of doing, it's like a free-for-all. It's like whatever's happening with the teachers, and it doesn't really ever become a lawsuit.
An attorney for Coach Kennedy told our sister station, Cairo in Seattle, they wanted to make sure all religions are treated equally in the public school system.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.